Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Hey, a doormat. A doormat.
A doormat.
Right.
A doormat. I was listening to a former Archbishop of Canterbury, I believe it was, speak recently, and he's talking about the state of Britain and how the Prime Minister supports the church out loud and says wonderful things about it, but what he does is the opposite of that in the policies and things he's passed. And then they asked him the question. They said, do you think then the Prime Minister is against the church? And he goes, no, I don't. I don't think anyone's against the church. I just think that nobody's been taught. People haven't been taught the Word of God. They don't know what it is. But what he said also I thought was pretty interesting. He's talking about being a doormat. You got to hear him, and then I want to talk about this. It's so, so very important, because quite often people get confused between, you know, is humility mean I'm a doormat? And, you know, what, you know, how good would doormats be for trying to make impact the world?
Yeah, zero.
It's not going to be. And just listen up. This is the former Archbishop of Canterbury.
I've often said, if you behave like a doormat, don't be surprised if people treat you like one.
That's so important, you know. And you're looking at the church being treated like a doormat in America right now, because the church is not standing up and being bold. But you got to have confidence in the God that you serve. You have to be willing to lay down your life for the one who laid down his life for you. And that's what we're called to do. You know, so many people are trying to save their life, but life's not worth living until you found something to die for.
That's right.
And Jesus is alive and sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he died for us. He died for you. He died to be able to make a way to God, the only way to God outside of perfection. He's the only one that walked a sinless life. And when they fell in the garden, the sin of man, we all fell. So our only hope is in Jesus. And it's time for the church to rise up. Somebody says, well, I might lose something. Well, you're supposed to probably lose everything. That's just part of it.
Yellow.
It's just part of it. And I think about what we were talking about by faith last week, and understanding that what people gave up for God, they gave up everything for God. And we'll be talking about in the extra hour today about not becoming weary and well-doing. We may even talk about it if we have enough time in this particular first hour. But not become weary and understand you're going to go through stuff, but don't, you want to continue to fight. You want to continue to do what's right. And humility is not being a doormat, Matt. Humility is defined as total dependency on God and respect for other people. If you depend on God, then you obey God. A person who is humble is a person who obeys God, even if it means standing or laying naked on your side eating cow dung to prophesy to somebody.
Ezekiel
did that. Even if it means packing up your luggage and digging a hole through the city wall and taking your luggage out and putting it on the outside to be able to show people that, hey, you know, this stuff is coming if we don't. You know, Easy 12. We talk about easy12.org. I mean, it's just a humble man and a humble woman is a person who actually does what God says. Does what God says. You know, in your marriage, you want to be humble? Live your marriage like God says marriage should be. And if you're not, then you're not humble. You're prideful in your marriage. If you are in your family with, you know, parenting, and you're in your family as children and fathers and mothers, and you know, you're not obeying God and what your role is in that paradigm, then you're walking in pride.
Yeah.
You're walking in pride, and to humble yourself is, you know, children should obey their parents, that the husband is the head of the wife like Christ is the head of the church, that the wife is to submit to her husband in everything. Sorry, America, that's what God says. But it's, you know what, the husband's supposed to submit to God in everything. I mean, it's just, and you know what God's saying because he's written it down in a Bible.
Right.
You know, so we all know what it is. And the thing about it is a father that fights for his family a doormat, or is he a bold soldier for God?
Right.
Willing to do whatever it takes in hopes that his family might be saved. And humility is not sitting back when you know what's right, when you know what God is saying and what he says about a situation, and you say nothing. I mean, you say it in humility, you say it with love and respect, but you say it. You got to say what it is. You don't have a choice. There is no plan B when it comes to God.
That's right.
And so quite often where somebody says, you know, I'm just being humble. Being You know, you just let the enemy take your family. You let the enemy take your ministry. You let the enemy take your business. I mean, there comes a time when, you know, you want to be able to protect. I think about, you know, King David when Absalom was coming in and trying to, well, basically just, he turned the whole the majority of Israel against its king and started marching in, proclaiming that he was king, had people, he hired people, basically, and flattered them to say, what, you know, tell everybody that I'm crowned king, man. And
wild.
Yeah, wild.
Wild.
But, you know, how ignorant are we when we don't realize that is the reality of human nature, that those things do take place, and we can't be naive in the context of that.
No doubt.
Right.
And for whatever reasons, you know, the devil had a hold of him. And so David took his crew that was with him that he knew would be loyal to him and those that followed him that he didn't ask him to follow him. And he left the city in hopes that Jerusalem would be spared. If it was just between him and Absalom, he, I don't think he would have had much issues with it, but he felt like there would be war in Jerusalem and many people's lives would be harmed because of the insurrection and the riots, basically, that was going to happen if he didn't step out. And so he's leaving the very place that he is supposed to be over. He's supposed to be over, and but yet that still was humility, because he said this. He said that I want to do this because this guy will probably hurt Jerusalem, the one that I'm responsible for. And if we can get through this, if we can negotiate through this, then they're not going to be hurt. And then he said also, when somebody sought to avenge this situation, when somebody was throwing rocks off of the wall at David, he said, maybe God will see this and reward me. Maybe God will see this and reward me. He understood. David was constantly aware it's against you and you only, God. He was aware that he served his life before the eyes of God. Jesus is called the Son of David of all the things he could have been. I mean, he was a man after God's own heart. He understood it was all for God. And so even in the fact that he was leaving, when he was leaving Jerusalem and his son Absalom was, you know, taken over demonically, you know, the Jerusalem, that he even still in that was dependent on God. He wasn't a doormat, because he's thinking, you know, maybe God's going to reward this thing, you know, and no, don't take this guy's head off right now, because he was one of the ones he's wanting to protect. At the same time, in the intensity when this guy's throwing rocks at him, he was a Jew, and his responsibility was to protect the Jews. And so if he would have let Joab or whoever it was saying, you know, I want to take his head off, then he would have allowed this guy to harm the very ones. The reason why he was leaving was to protect them.
Yeah.
You know, even God, you know, said, you know, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to leave you.
Yeah. Well, he trusted God. He said, you know, no. God allowed it to happen.
That's right.
God allowed it to happen.
Right, right, right. In the context of that. So understanding that, well, there's an intensity to that, knowing that, you know, quite often people say that quote, or they don't know if they're quoting it. They're just not wanting to fight.
Yeah.
You know, they're not just wanting to do anything. They just want life just to happen to them like bugs on a windshield. And, but there's a tension between understanding, am I doing this in humility? Am I doing this because I am doing the best I can to put everything on the scales of God and hoping that what he's called me to do, I'll do my best to the end. And he did. He wanted to make sure that Jerusalem, because Absalom would have created war, and he would have destroyed
and ripped Jerusalem.
Ripped apart. And while he was doing that, understand, this is king. He could have just shredded. He could have shredded Absalom. And while he's walking away, Absalom is sleeping with David's concubines on his roof. He went to the very top sun deck of the kingdom, so everybody can see what was going on. And he was having sex with David's women.
Wow.
And he still didn't go kill him. I mean, that's humility in the context of that, because the tensions between what was going on. And And God, it was right. He was right that God did turn things around and kind of resolved a few things. And eventually the hair that everybody loved was this very thing that would hang Absalom.
Snag him
in the fig tree. No. And but humility. So it's not about being a doormat. It's about in love, speaking the truth into a situation and asking permission quite often that you can ask somebody, do you, and some people will be honest with you. No, I don't want to know the truth. I just want to say, I know,
mm-hmm.
you know, but just ask people. You'd be surprised once you ask them, do you, you know, really, would you like to know what the Bible says about this? You know, right. Would you like to know, you know, what's on my heart right here? And they say, well, yeah, I would. And that just, you have permission at that point to be able to speak the truth. And if you do it that way, anyway, their heart is open to you, and now you have access. They're ready to receive that word. But, you know, when you walk away from a situation and you had permission to speak into that situation and you didn't, Ezekiel says that their blood will be on your hands.
That's right.
And so we have an obligation to speak the truth in love in a situation. And remember, you know, one way to do it in humility is the way that Paul did it. When Paul was constantly talking about of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. He looked at the context of his life and what he did and delivered with fear and trembling the truth that he knew he had to deliver. That was the only hope for human beings. That was the only hope for mankind, was the truth of God. Even when he had to even discuss his own struggles and the things that was going on in Romans chapter 7, he said, but praise be to God, you know, Jesus Christ, who delivered us from all of this.
Right.
And so the question is, one more time before we go to break, we want to hear the former Archbishop of, you know, Lord Carey, I believe his name is, the Archbishop of Canterbury.
I've often said, if you behave like a doormat, don't be surprised if people treat you like one.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.